You're listening to Marketplace Weekend from APM. I'm Lizzie O'Leary. Since it's the weekend, we asked some friends to join us. So let's have brunch. We are out having brunch at the Pullman Kitchen in New York. And today we've got a special edition, an all-business insider brunch. We've got Joe Wiesenthal, the executive editor, and Nicholas Carlson, chief correspondent, both from Business Insider. Welcome to you both.
Thanks.
Thanks for having us.
Cheers.
High five.
Cheers.
Or high five, you know, yeah. Either way, man. The roller coaster ride that is the stock market right now. Joe, what is going on?
Yeah, it's exciting times. In the span of just a few weeks, we've gone from everybody being bullish, nobody having any reason to thinking stocks would sell, to nobody is bullish, markets tanking like we haven't seen in a long time, big like 2 and 3% down days.
Nick, put this into real people perspective for me, because I think if you're someone who, you know, has a retirement account and maybe wants to stop working, you live through the financial crisis, you look at this again and go, oh, God, right. Is my money safe?
Right. So, I mean, I think the best advice really would be to turn your TV off and close the blogs.
Only
and,
listen to public radio.
Yeah, but
turn off the radio.
Go listen to
turn on the radio.
Listen to lots
Sorry.
Of radio.
Got that wrong.
But don't get caught up in the up and downs. This is exciting for people like Joe, because Joe's watching this all the
Joe's
time.
Joe's a dork.
You know, but this is not exciting. This is probably stressful. Don't pay that close of attention to it, probably, for those people.
People need to be reminded that we could have a downturn, we could have a sell-off, we could have an economic slowdown without it feeling like economic Armageddon, which is how we all felt in 2008 and 2009. At that time, we really thought, this like, could this be the end of the modern capitalist system as we know it, the collapse of the entire financial system?
Well, that's
but the truth of the matter is, like, before that, you know, mild recessions and downturns are not that rare. In fact, that's just part of the business cycle.
I want to talk about a big transition in the way we consume popular culture. We have been talking a lot on this show about the transition away from traditional broadcast TV. HBO has come out and made this announcement. We're going to offer a web-only something. Sounds kind of like HBO Go, but just on the web, kind of like Netflix, maybe. What is this? Is this a game changer, do you think, Nick?
I think it's really big news. People will start to say that this means that cable bundling is going to go away. But, I mean, until the big thing that keeps that from ever happening is
Sports,
ESPN. And, you know, those things are, you start to get into ad-supported businesses that aren't just subscription-supported like HBO is. And so it's a big changer for HBO, and it's a big changer for premium content channels, but it's not going to change the cable paradigm.
Yeah, to me, what's exciting about all these things like HBO Go is just how nice of an experience it is. If you have a set-top box and you have cable, how miserable it is, like, that we still, like, flip through channels that have numbers, and we have to, like, scroll through them vertically or whatever. Like, that's it. And then when you go to an app like HBO Go or Netflix, it's like, you search by show, and it's just really easy to get around and see exactly what you want to see. So I think, like, it's really exciting that there will be more of these kind of options where we're accustomed to getting content this way. But in terms of, like, it being a collapse of the traditional TV model, I'm sure that'll happen eventually, but I don't think this is the thing that will set it off.
I wonder if there's something that takes away spontaneity in this, and I can't believe I'm actually going to advocate for channel flipping, but
I love channel flipping.
There's something, I think, where you can stumble upon something you never expected that is
Well, I've had a lot of, like,
kind of nice
sick days where I spent the afternoon just watching, like, a Law and Order marathon.
Oh, I've watched every
like
episode of SVU sure. ever
and,
made. Ever made.
You know, that might not happen in the area. Like, that happens because I'm flipping through and I see that. That might not happen, you know, if I,
you know,
an app model.
They talk about a thing called decision fatigue, which, you know, maybe you only have, like, something like a 15 decisions you can make in a day before just exhausting your brain. So the idea of you always having to go on and pick what you want to watch, it can be exhausting. I don't know if you ever, like, had this experience where you turn on Netflix and you're like, okay, what do I watch? Nah, that's not going to be good enough. No, I've seen something like that before. And just being able to just turn on the TV and it's already streaming and it's going, it can be very pleasant, especially if you just sort of know whatever channel you're turning on.
I think it also is very important to see what kind of price point these companies are operating at. If they are selling something that is a premium product at a premium price,
right,
that may be out of a lot of people's reach. I mean,
because you're not going to just want to have one. You're not going to just have HBO. You're going to want to have the HBO app or the Netflix app, and, you know,
Showtime,
eventually
Cinemax.
You'll want to have, like, maybe the MLB service or whatever.
Yeah.
And then you're, you know, by the time you add all those together, you've basically just recreated what you're paying for when you get cable.
The week that I have two dudes on the show, I'm going to ask you about women in the workplace and two major companies, Facebook and Apple, talking about paying for, essentially, egg freezing for female employees, implementing it in different timelines in each company. But this marks a big shift in the way we talk about women in the workforce. You're both men, so you're going to come at this from a slightly different viewpoint than I do. But what do you think about this announcement in terms of both women in the workforce and how this positions these companies from a competitive standpoint?
I think from a competitive standpoint, it's a clear winner for them. So they're basically saying, you know, if you want to, they want, these companies want to attract women. They, frankly, they want to attract women who are very alpha and career oriented and not going to slow down. So, you know, I think from their perspective, it's a winner.
I also find it to be a very interesting thing coming on the heels of Satya Nadella's, how should we put this?
Oh, God.
Big foot in his mouth telling women not to ask for a raise.
I think that someone said this on Twitter, so not an original thought, but I think it struck me as correct, which was, I think for a moment he forgot he was at a women's conference and was just giving advice to all employees, sort of, don't ask for a raise, you really shouldn't do that, we'll take care of you, which is maybe something he thinks CEOs should just, you know, what any CEO would do. But that's actually really bad advice.
It's really bad advice.
Yeah, and it makes you wonder about his career and how he got to where he is and things like that.
I think it's probably bad advice for you know, both genders.
Oh,
but
absolutely.
It's particularly bad advice for women.
It is.
You know, when you see study after study after study showing that you have to advocate for yourself in a very specific way.
It's an unfortunate fact of, like, workforces that if you're noisier and ask for more, you'll probably get more, regardless. And so you end up with pay that just skewed not necessarily on merit, but towards the noisy.
I have to throw one thing at you guys. The New York Times wrote a piece saying brunch is for jerks. Are we jerks?
You know what? I clicked on that, and I read the headline, and I immediately clicked away.
So you're a jerk, is what you're saying.
This is just it just seemed like such a transparently trolly move that I wasn't going to indulge it, that I wasn't going to indulge the piece by reading it. I saw the headline, and was like, life is too short, I'm going to die one day, and I'll regret if I spent time reading this piece. So I don't know if the argument is valid or not.
My view was, I, on Saturday morning, like to have a big cheesy omelet, some bacon, some toast. Call it what you will, you know, point at me, laugh.
I enjoy a long, leisurely meal that, you know, stretches on, may or may not involve an alcoholic beverage at 11 o'clock. I think that is perfect.
You know what I am anti, though, is like the whole waiting outside of a restaurant.
That's very simple.
So I saw there was a great tweet a while back from Tim Carney, and he said, some people have brunch and some people have kids. And that was like a pretty, and that's how he divided his friends. And that seems pretty accurate.
All right, Joe Weisenthal and Nicholas Carlson from Business Insider, thank you both so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.